Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League now. Welcome. This is Triple M Footy.
And it's lovely to have you company on this Saturday afternoon, heading towards kickoff, Central Coast Stadium. The Roosters taking on the Titans. And it's the Warriors and South Sydney and the Panthers and Dragons. And we've learnt it was close to a sellout. And as of this afternoon, James Hooper, that game at Panthers Stadium is sold out, yes?
Yeah, they got the sold out sign uptown. Great news for the Panthers and just for the game in general. 1v2, top of the table clash. Be electric out there tonight at Penrith. I think Finchie, you're going out to the sideline for Fox, aren't you?
Yeah, it should be nice and warm out there. I'm really looking forward to it. So,
get the beanie on. Beanies for brain cancer.
Great.
Get it on.
Should be a great weekend. Big crowd and obviously boozies, beanies for brain cancer, just the cherry on top.
That is brilliant, the beanies for brain cancer and what he has done. If you haven't yet, have a look. If you've got access or go online to the Sydney Morning Herald, and Andrew Webster's piece with Boozy is a fabulous insight into what he has gone through, is going through, and what he's achieving. And it's a remarkable, it's a lovely story.
I was speaking to him the other day, and he said, said where is he at with it? And he's still very much in a tough situation. Yep. He's got to get tested every couple of months.
Yeah.
And I said, how do you deal with it? He goes, I don't like to think about it. It makes me really upset. I said, well, how are you coming on these shows and you're doing, you know? So he's still dealing with his own thing, but he's out there promoting it, raising money for other people. And it's, he goes, I know, every time I do something like this, I just got to realize this is helping someone else, no matter how hard it is for me to talk about his own experience. So that's one hell of a man who's still dealing with his own situations, but putting other people first.
Well, the other bloke he always mentions as well is Matty Callender, who lost his battle with brain cancer last year. But, you know, he takes the time and he makes the memory of Matt. And that's part of this celebration of this round is the fact that, you know, it's a very shattering disease. And the fact that Mark is prepared to go on and openly share his story and try and raise money and raise awareness and just make as much of a contribution as he can towards what is a very tough issue. It says a lot about Mark Hughes.
Not just about Hughesy, Hoops. It says a lot about the game. If we talk about hashtag talk the game up, the way the NRL community has gathered around him, and certainly his Newcastle mates, you know, with Joey Johns, Matty Johns, those guys, what they have done to get around him and help him, not just personally, but with this cause, has been wonderful. So whenever we talk about the NRL and, you know, the games and the whistles and the penalties, you look at what the game can actually do and achieve, and it's quite amazing.
He's off to, they went to base camp last year, obviously, a big group of them. They're off to Borneo this year, which will be interesting. So,
what are they doing over there?
Are they going to ride bikes, I think, for 100 Ks a day or whatever, for about 10 days or whatever. So Boozy's trying to rally some troops. Finchie, have you been on the calls list?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay. Borneo is probably not the right place to be hanging out.
No, anywhere is not the right place to be hanging out.
No, the only place for you to hang out is near a microphone right here, right now, because we know that Freddie Fittler will, of course, name his Blues side Monday. It'll be announced Monday evening. I think Kevin Walters does the job Sunday evening for Queensland. We've heard yours, Gerds, your side a little bit earlier, a couple of weeks ago, in fact. Let's get some insight. Brett Finch, name your New South Wales State of Origin team.
Yeah, I've gone Teddy at fullback, Kotrick and Adokar on the wings, Mitchell and Roberts in the centres, Maloney and Cleary, Jake Trbojevic at lock, Frizzell, Cordner in the back row, Campbell, Gillard, Cook and Vaughan up front. On the bench, I went to Bellin, Crichton, Merrin and Clemmer.
Crichton and Merrin are two
got
names
some size
that jump
on the bench.
No utility on the bench? No Peachy?
Merrin.
He can run forwards and backwards.
You seen that man dance? His utility value's outstanding.
So you've gone for Roberts rather than you and Aiken or Mitchell. Okay.
All out attack.
All out attack, which is something
some points in that side.
Yeah, well, let's hope. I mean, obviously, Freddie is thinking about attack, but he's also a bit concerned about defence. He has mentioned a couple of times talking about James Maloney.
I just think if you look at the opposition, who wouldn't they want to play? Who would they least like to have up against them? And I just think I wouldn't like to be playing Mitchell or Roberts. They're a threat from anywhere on the field.
That try he scored Friday week ago, the Jet.
It's
under sevens. Yeah, well, it's just, yeah, like, it's as good feeling, as you'll see.
I get the feeling we need to score more points than they do and not try and defend a lead or whatever. I think we need to, you know, as they said, an all-out attack. And I think especially with our outside backs, you're talking about guys that, you know, aren't probably going to score as many tries. We just hope they don't let too many in because, you know, the strength of Queensland's obviously their outside backs, isn't it? I mean, they're going to challenge our guys defensively. So we need to know that, okay, if we're leaking some points, we need to be able to score plenty more. Yeah, and I think
especially
that's their
with
attitude.
Some new players in that team, if we can explode out of the box and get some early points, it's going to put a lot of pressure on some of those new blokes in those positions. You know, they would love an arm wrestle and a grind and a dour game because that's where they've controlled most of their, you know, come up with those big plays. So if we can get some early points and, you know, those guys in the back line, they've got plenty of attacking ability.
Yeah, all right. Well, they still can't do it, obviously, Queensland. Hashtag talk the Maroons up. They will do it. That's what we're saying here. We will be joined by Peter Sterling very shortly.
Very strong side.
Sensational side. Plenty to get to on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. And remember, you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Just download the Triple M NRL app. We are heading towards the kickoff. The Roosters taking on the Titans, Central Coast Stadium. Any late breaking news, James Hooper?
Yeah, there's a couple of changes for the Roosters, Tone. Jared Wairea-Hargraves is going to start the game. Young Ryan Madison's been ruled out, and that means that with Jared elevated into the starting team, Nat Butcher is the new player on the Chooks bench. And then for the Gold Coast, the winger Philip Sammy is out. Connie Harrell's back in. He's obviously been playing Regis for a while now, so he gets another crack in the NRL in the Titans' back line. I don't think Connie will be playing on the wing, so I'd say Copley will probably go to the wing. Harrell will play in the centres. And then Jack Stockwell is off the bench. And that young gun, Futuaka, good young front rower, made his debut the other week. He is on the Titans interchange bench as well.
Gee, good. As a look at that Titans team, we named the team of two first names. It's full of two first names. Michael Gordon, Anthony Don, we see there, Bronco Lee, Philip Sammy, Ash Taylor, Jared Wallace, Ryan James. And I was thinking of naming my son Proctor. So Kevin Proctor.
Really?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really. There are plenty there. Peter Sterling will join us very shortly as we look at that game and all the others. And there's great two other games that are on this evening. Right now, though, just a little bit of this.
Ladies and gentlemen. Three in five.
Oh, I love Tony Sessions. I love the three in five.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
Three and five.
Very simple operation. I ask some questions. You have 5 seconds in which to give me three correct answers. The questions themselves are easy. The answers should be easy. It's just the pressure of the clock, the timing. That's all that does it. All right. Are we ready to play three in five?
Is there a theme for today's?
Not really. Not really. There's a couple of, you know, it's a bit of origin in there somewhere. And there's also a bit of the names because we have been doing them today. In fact, I think I'll start there. And I think I'll start with you, James Hooper. The Panther side has four players hyphenated names. Can you name three of them?
Dallin Martini-Zalesniak, James Fisher-Harris, Regan Campbell-Gillard.
Beautiful work. There are three, and it could have gone for Corey.
Who's the other one?
Harry Wira-Naira.
That was good, Hoops.
Very, very good. All right. I'm going to go with you now, Ryan Girdler. There could be a lot of fresh faces in the New South Wales Blues side when Brad Fittler names it on Monday evening. Mm-hmm. I just think some times a player comes on, but that may be the one and only game they play of State of Origin. Can you name three people in New South Wales who only played one game?
Jared Mullen.
Jimmy Viera, Aaron Robinson.
No, I can't.
Well, it was only 50. There's only 50 players.
There's 50 players
there's
that have played one game.
50 players.
And that's just the last 10 years.
Exactly. I won't go through the list.
Give us a couple of more recent ones.
Well, going back, of course, Barry Jensen has only played the one.
Jamie Viera.
Dean Young only played one game, apparently.
Kate Snowden, did he only play one game?
Who?
Cade Snowden.
Cade Snowden, one game of football. Yeah, exactly. Stephen Edge, obviously, through the years, okay. You know, they might have been late in their career. All right, and this is for you, Brett Finch, and I made it very easy. You spent some time in beautiful Newcastle as a young man. Can you please name three Newcastle beaches?
Merriweather, Nobby's, and Bar Beach.
Beautiful work. Caves Beach, Redhead, Stockton, we've taken all those.
I thought you were going to say pubs, Tony. You would have been able to give you about 33.
I could have given you from Newcastle to Sydney.
We'll do that during the break. James Hooper, you are the winner. Sterlo will join us next. One of the greats of the game, Peter Sterling, joins us right here, right now. Sterlo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm not up to speed with a lot of stuff. I've been in another country. Different language. You mean Queensland.
Okay.
Just come back from Townsville this morning. Eventually got back. But I know, have you finally made the call that we've all been looking for, the permanent call? Finch in for Wendell?
Hasn't been
made. Finally, I come into so many clubs where I just couldn't live up to the standard. I just feel so comfortable coming in after Dell because the bar's set very low.
We love you,
that'll
Del.
Get back to him.
We will indeed. You were, of course, in North Queensland. What have you made of what you've seen footy-wise so far this weekend?
Both teams last night were really poor, actually. It was a gripping game because it was close. But from the expectations we have of those two clubs for over the last number of seasons, they're a long way from where they have been and where they need to be. And the difference was Cameron Smith. He was unbelievable last night. He just mesmerised them. He just orchestrated everything out of dummy half, came up with the right plays when they needed to. And he and Munster, I thought, were excellent. But outside of that, I didn't think the standard of the game was very high at all, which is very rare to say when you're talking about Melbourne and North Queensland.
Yeah. Joey was pretty vocal on the Cassiano incident. What did you make of it? Late hit on
Jonathan?
It was
a terrible one, yeah, because there was so much time. You know, he actually, when he passed the football, JT, like he was sort of leaning down a touch. He actually had time to stand up and relax, and then he got nailed, you know. And I've got to say, to his credit, Craig Bellamy, after the game, we spoke to him and Joey said to, look, Craig, I've been pretty strong on the Sam Cassiano thing. Now, a lot of coaches would have said, didn't see it. I'll need to have a look at it. He said, look, that's not us. That's not what we want to be. That's not what our club is about. So he was like, he didn't back away from admitting that it was a poor one as well.
We mentioned earlier that will be one of the things that Jonathan Thurston won't miss once he's finished his career. But is it a difficult time for him now, given that we'd have to assume that the Cowboys aren't going to be there September?
It's got to be really difficult for him. And you can tell that from his body language, you know, the way he's doing his best. He was, any loose ball was on the ground, he was on top of it, you know. They put a lot of pressure on him, and especially the King game. Cameron Smith was excellent in getting up, and, you know, the field goal to maybe send it into Golden Point. It was Cameron Smith in his face. You know, everybody else was 5 metres away, so he was still going strong. But you can just see that, you know, the way he gets up off the ground at times, he's taken some knocks. I still don't think that shoulder's 100% right, but he's doing his best to get around that. If semi-final football is not on the horizon, and no Origin, of course, then, you know, he's just got to find a way to motivate himself every week. But if someone can, it's him. You know, he'll go out, no matter what the situation. He won't be thinking whether the team can make finals or not. He'll just go out and do his very best.
What about the Eels? We spoke with Brad Arthur a little bit earlier today, saying there were some things he got out of that game, but yet again didn't do the job.
Yeah, it wasn't competition points, unfortunately. No. We say the same thing about Parramatta every week, I think, that the effort's obviously there. But they are their own worst enemies so often during the course of the game. They're ill-disciplined. Their execution is poor. There are unforced errors there, and that's not going to get it done in the NRL. And obviously all that affects your confidence as well when things aren't going well for you. So it's self-perpetuating. It gathers momentum. And, I heard you guys earlier with the stock market. I liked the move. I thought the Gutherson-Norman move was a good move, and I think it's one to be persevered with. But, we say the same thing. It's just head down. You've got to work hard, and things will turn. It looks like it'll turn too late to be involved in the last month of football, but they've got to get something out of the second half of the season.
Goods said and mentioned to Brad Arthur that the change in style of the way the game is structured and refereed works against the way and style of the Eels from last season and moving into this season. Do you see that?
Well, maybe early on, but gee, it's been, you know, 3 months now that they've had a chance to get it right and to, you know, that doesn't force you to drop balls and things. But the penalties that they've given away during the last 8 weeks have been terrible early in games, and generally the way that it's being refereed now. If you give one away, you give four away. They come in spurts, and all of a sudden Parramatta are 12 behind on the scoreboard, and they just don't, you know, they haven't been able to get back into the games on the back of that. So they've been really poor in relation to not only giving those penalties away and giving the momentum to the other team, but defending them. You know, you've got to be able, if you get a bad call or if you come up with some poor, you've got to defend that next set and the set after that if need be, and even the next set after that. I think they did that well last year, but they just haven't looked like they've been able to do it this year.
All right, there's a couple of games, including the one first one kicking off at 3 o'clock this afternoon we want to get to, but I'm really interested in getting your take also on the Dragons and the Panthers and the Warriors taking on South Sydney. Also, the coaching conundrum, the story that James Hooper broke earlier in the week surrounding the Broncos and Melbourne Storm coaches. We'll get to that with you, Peter Sterling, very shortly on Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday. Arvo, Peter Sterling joining us. Ryan Girdley here, James Hooper, Tony Squires, Brett Finch as well. Maroon will be in with his throat to talk up and call the game. The first game, the Roosters taking on the Titans, then it's the Warriors and South Sydney. And tonight, sold out Panthers taking on the Dragons. Sadly, things have conspired against me and I'm not allowed to watch that live, Gerd. So
you've made a decision.
It's a family thing.
Halfway through the season, It's the match of the first half of the season. You've made a decision. To go
to accept an invitation from my daughter who doesn't have a TV. No, doesn't have a TV
on the night that your beloved Dragons play the Panthers.
Does she live in Nimbin?
No, she lives in Mount Cole.
Why doesn't she have a TV?
Well, she doesn't think that a television is something that's important. But doesn't in her she know life that at the moment?
You make all your money off TV.
Yeah, she's never seen me on TV. I like the not many.
Dad, what do you
have.
Do for a job?
Exactly. I can't answer that question. No matter who asks what I do.
I don't
for
think
a
it's
job.
A family thing at all. I'm a little bit like with Liverpool FC. Some nights I won't watch because I think I jinx them.
There is that.
If I tune in next morning, I hear it's 2-0, and that's because I didn't.
So
watch.
Will you be watching? No, you're on to something. Is that tonight or
Champions
tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, quarter to five.
You got to get up.
Even if they get beaten by Real Madrid, it's still a fantastic achievement.
Are you going to watch it?
Oh, back up, Sparky. You can't already say, even if they lose, it's a great achievement. No, we've done really well.
Mate, Barcelona couldn't make it. How good are we going?
Barcelona. No. Do you have a scarf?
Don't point at me.
Do you have a scarf?
I've got everything. I've got shirts signed by the very best. Bruce Grobbelaar, who bet on him. Yes,
the goalkeeper.
I've got some good stuff at home.
I love it. All right, so if I do, I've recorded the game. I'll be watching it later. Can you please promise
don't
me?
Me
you won't text.
I'm going to text you score
don't,
updates
don't
the whole
text.
Time.
Leave
whole
me
time.
In peace. Do not text. All right, we're going to get to that game. But I guess the news of the week, Sterlo, has been the one that Hoops broke earlier, the Craig Bellamy-Wayne Bennett story. Wayne Bennett, as we know, he's contracted not just the end of this year but the end of next season. There have been discussions, Craig Bellamy and the Broncos, about him who is off contract at the Storm at the end of this season, taking up the position at the Broncos. What have you made of it so far?
Oh, I'm not really sure. The one thing I always saw with Wayne Bennett was that, you know, what he's done at that club for so long and the success that he's had, that he would sort of leave on his own terms. It doesn't necessarily look as though it's going to be the case. It may well be his own terms then is to fulfil his contract, which is to the end of next year, but then, you know, what do they... I just think that I know that Melbourne have said that, or Craig Bellamy has said that Melbourne wouldn't sign him for 1 year and that there's a chance of a season off. To me, it kind of makes a little bit more sense that if Craig kept coaching at Melbourne next year, and that would really prepare them for whoever's going to take over at the end of 2019. And that way Wayne Bennett would fulfil his contract. He'd go out on good terms, I suppose, with what he's achieved. Now, that's the way that the two parties are talking, or the way that the conversation is around this. That doesn't appear as though that's the course, but I don't know if it's too far from being maybe the best way to go about it if everybody is going to sort of, you know, win in the situation. If you're going to take over Melbourne, you are stepping into a really, really tough situation following Craig Bellamy and the success that they've had.
And important.
Now, I think if you're going to take over next year, you need to know now. Like, you need to know straight away. It's to get your head around what you're taking on and get things in order. And I know that Craig has always said that the transition would be relatively smooth because there are good people there, and not that they've groomed them, but there are good people there that will continue Melbourne on in the same vein. Yeah. But I think if you're going to follow Craig Bellamy, you know, it's like, I always respected John Mooney because to come in after Jack Gibson had won three premierships in a row, yeah. Well, that's, you know, there's a lot of downside to that. So I'll be really interested to see how this pans out, because you would think that Bennett and the Broncos, you know, he would want to leave there in the right way. They would want him to go in the right way. And the transition for Melbourne now is a really important one. And the standards that they have set and the success that they've enjoyed, it's got to be made as easy as possible for that next person to come in and pick it up and run with the ball.
On the Broncos side of things, there's been plenty of, and I guess some of it's driven by personality clashes, and those things happen when coaches and players, but talking about Wayne Bennett, but what's your take on him? You know, Hoops has told us today that he wants to coach beyond just this contract, but you know, into 2020. Will he get a job? Has he still got plenty to offer?
I don't know. You know, I guess we all look at the age, 68. And that's old in coaching ranks, but if you've still got it, you've still got it, and if you've still got the good ideas. And, you know, I like the way that the side has played their football over, you know, a number of years now. I'm not quite sure whether they've got the roster right for this year at all, but there's certainly some great young talent coming through, like that back row coming in from Maguire and Gillett. You know, Sua and Pangai Jr. and Offahengau and that, like they're really good young players. And this young Stag.
Yeah, Saga.
Katoni Stag. There's a young guy called Fafita who hasn't.
And you would expect, because, you know, they're in a prime position to recruit with what they have behind them. Look, I don't know whether another club would take Wayne on. I don't know whether he'd want to relocate once again if that meant was, you know, coming south the border or whatever. I don't know. The one thing about Wayne is, when you hear him speak about coaching, I don't know him well enough to say it's his life, but I think it would leave an unbelievable hole for him if he wasn't involved. I think he'd be involved in the game somehow.
In media, obviously.
I spoke to him earlier in the week, Pete, and you could hear he still has a real passion, a hunger, and he said, I still got the music in me.
If you've got that, then that's because you don't let die with the music.
That's it. Those words.
James has called 133353. You've got an idea, James, for Melbourne.
Boys, love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I heard during the week, and MG said in the rush hour, if Craig Bellamy leaves Melbourne, then the rugby league in Melbourne will disappear as well. So I think Cameron Smith needs to take over from the coach and retire from footy and coach Melbourne to get back into the rugby league community there. He knows the structure. He's been there for a while. So
straight into captain coach.
Captain. It certainly keeps the profile around the club, doesn't it? But I'm just not sure that's what Cameron would like to do after what's been an amazing career. I think he's got some options in the media. I think he's actually got options in whatever he wants to do. He could probably start up
a
public speaking tour and go on that and make a fortune as well. So it's an interesting one. But I from all the feedback around what Cameron will do post-career, it won't be coaching from what I've...
Maybe not straight away. But like we said, they've got some good options there. Adam O'Brien has served a long apprenticeship under Craig Bellamy. And then, I mean, the other name that I've heard, Pete, over the last week is Michael Maguire, because he came out of that system. He's a premiership winner. He's signed on to coach the Kiwis. But aside from that, he's available and he understands what it means down there and how it all comes together. So I think that would be a smart fit.
He fits the bill to a large degree. Oh, look, I think when Cameron Smith retires, he goes into what he was meant to be. He'll go into accountancy.
I actually think he'll take over boss of the referees, Pete.
There's no change for him.
All right. As you mentioned, the State of Origin Blues side will be announced on Monday evening by Brad Fittler at a Lush ceremony. There is, of course, a show you can hear, but of course you've got to download the Triple M NRL app. You can hear it as the New South Wales announcement. Origin with our MG is going to be there talking us through. I think Sterlo is going to contribute as well. Yes, Sterlo?
Yeah, I got a couple of blokes pretty dirty with me after you got me to name my Blues side a week and a half ago, because I had Curtis Scott and Appy Coruscant in the side.
They went down swinging.
That was a couple of days just before the battle of Richard Brookvale, whatever battle this was.
Yeah, exactly.
Helped their cause, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm. We'll see whose careers you can ruin after this. We'll have a look at the games that you're going to hear this evening. Not just the Roosters and Titans, but we'll have a look at the Warriors in South Sydney, and the Panthers taking on the Dragons. That's next Saturday, Triple M NRL. Let's go backwards. Let's look at the first Panthers and Dragons game. It is, of course, at Panthers Stadium. Sold out. 7:35 kickoff. Sold out. It is great. Should be a terrific game of footy. And certainly there are a lot of names in both of those teams who will be vying for that last glimpse from the coach, super coach Brad Fittler. And, of course, Kevi Walters, with their efforts to get into State of Origin selected this weekend. There's so much to like across the park here, Sturlo.
Yeah, well, Brad Fittler has come out and said that he'll be watching this game very closely, and the last impression is always the best one to leave, and a lot of players out there tonight get that opportunity. You know, I guess we look at Nathan Cleary again. He was fantastic first game back after that period of time. I had expectations, but he exceeded them in his comeback game, and just looked at little things to see if there was any discomfort, like he kicked early, and it's his standing leg, and you know, sometimes if you're coming back from a knee problem, you're worried about them coming through and cleaning. He didn't have a concern there. Got away late in the game. He knocked on, but he ran 40 metres, changed direction. So they're all little things there to say that, you know, he's right and he's confident and there's no discomfort. And a guy like Tyrone Peachey, he's if he can come out and have a big one again tonight, then, you know, a big step to him. To me, the forward battle is the one. I said last week I thought the Panthers had the best forward pack in the competition, and I'm including the fact that they've got Kikau, Tamo, and a young Tyro and Jack Hetherington coming off the bench. Oh, that's depth. And, and I think a couple of St. George Illawarra players up front will be pretty keen to say, well, nah, hang on. No, we're the best forward pack, and we're going to provide most places in State of Origin for New South Wales, and we'll take them on. So that battle, to me, that's the standout.
Yeah, it promises to be a hell of a game. Let me take you back to young Nathan Cleary, Pete. If he plays as well as what he did last weekend, do you think he's the New South Wales number seven?
I do, yeah. He's just such a confident young player. And yeah, there are some, it's a little bit like Nick Kotrick. I look at those two individuals, and to me, they look like 150-game players. You know, they're just, nothing looks like they phase them. Defensively, they're really good, and that was another aspect of Nathan's game last week. He defended so strongly on that edge. So I think he'll be there, and I guess, you know, we still don't know the feelings around James Maloney, but, you know, you would think if Cleary's there, then it's got to help James Maloney's chances as well to keep that combination together. Although they've only played 3.5 games together, but they have had a full off season and they spend time around each other each day. They know the voices and that. So that's got to count for plenty.
You'll get a good test defensively today. Young Nathan, he's got Tarek Sims.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he's got the football digging into the line, he'll cop some shots. Another good battle tonight's going to be, you know, Peachey on the left side for the Panthers against Aitken on the right side for the Dragons. I mean, those two guys are obviously vying for spots, probably different roles, possibly for the Origin side. But Aitken, with his last opportunity, I mean, he was all the talk probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago and sort of gone off a little bit of late, and it's all been about Roberts, but Roberts picked up a little bit of an injury, and he'd want to make sure going into his first Origin that he could prepare and be probably part of every session and not come in and carry an injury into the game. So it sort of brings Aitken back into the frame.
Well, for sure it does.
They came out and said that, you know, he's been carrying this Achilles problem for a little while now. It really hurt him in that try that he scored 2 weeks ago.
Slowed him right down.
Yeah. That's off-putting.
I reckon Freddie Fittler will be checking in with Jimmy the Jet personally and just asking him, does he think he'd be right to train? And if he can train, then I think he gets picked. But if he can't, I don't think, given the number of debutants that are going to be in that side, I'm not sure you'd want to pick a player who couldn't train straight away.
Do you think we see the New South Wales front row today, Pete, and Campbell Gillard versus Vaughan?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think that they've both done enough. And, well, Campbell Gillard, the current Australian front row, started the World Cup in the front row, and he's had a great season since then. And Paul Vaughan, I think, is a better player than when he was spoken about possibly playing last year. I think that extra season under his belt, and a couple of other players, mate, same with Jack DeBellin. He's a better player now than he was.
You said that last year, didn't you, about Paul Vaughan? You said he's in terrific form, but I'd like to see him do it over the course of a longer period of time.
I like the fact that they're different style of players too. You're going to have Campbell Gillard that's just going to fly out of the line and try and put shots on, and, you know, he's a little bit more damaging the way that he runs, but then you got Vaughan, who's just so consistent. You know, he sort of probably doesn't have the same sort of impact, but he's just always there, isn't he? He's really rock solid in his performances.
He's a try scorer, Paul Vaughan.
Yeah, he gets over the line.
You know, Gus always says he's the one front rower that when he goes out, he thinks of scoring tries. You know, it's not just about bash and barge and take it up. Like, he wants to get the ball over the line, and he does.
And he does fancy dance celebrations as well. He's got everything. Mm. It's not just about Origin, obviously, for this. It is about the NRL competition, and it's key for the Dragons, obviously, if they do get a bunch of them picked. They have been travelling so well that they get another 2 points. They go into a bye then. So it's key for them. And they've had that great fortune. I don't think any other side has, not just the 1 to 13. I think the 1 to 16 has been the same.
Well, certainly the first 13 have that run out. And that, I think, again, when you look at North Queensland, yeah, they've only used 22 players this season. That normally equates, if you've got a good side, to playing finals football. So it's not as though they've been put off by injuries in their campaign this year. It'll turn for the Dragons. They'll have to cope with something, whether it's during Origin or after Origin, where they're going to have some injury concerns. And that's, you know, you've just got to battle that. But they've set themselves up. That's what they've done in the first half of the season.
Who wins tonight?
I've gone the Panthers because it's at home. They haven't lost there this season. Only a home game that they've was the Bathurst loss. I just think they're going to be ready for it. But look, I as long as we get a great game of footy and lives up to expectations, I don't mind. May the better team win. May it be decided by the players. And may we be going away from this one saying, well, boy, Brad Fittler, good luck, because everybody played enormous and you've got such a smorgasbord to choose from.
Hoops, who wins?
Yeah, I'm going for the Panthers. Similar sentiments to Pete. They've looked great out there so far this season, but there'll be a toss of a coin in it. Promises to be a cracking go.
Good.
I think given that Penrith have probably got really six influential players still on the bench, I think the Dragons might win this one. I think they'll come again. They'll probably have another battle at the back end of the season at some point where Penrith will have their full squad on available. But at the moment, you know, you've still got... You've got the fullback Edwards out. You know, you've got the old captain in Peter Wallace out. You've still got some pretty influential players out of this Penrith side at the moment. And I think that just might give the edge to the Dragons.
All right, we have 45 seconds. The Rabbitohs and the Warriors. Peter Sterling.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'll go Souths.
Who's worrying you? Is it the Warriors that are worrying you?
Yet to be convinced, Tony. Yet to be convinced to a degree.
Hoops, should you
think? Yeah, I like the Bunnies. I like Greg Inglis back at fullback. I thought he showed some really strong signs there last week. They're building nicely.
Good chance for Crichton tonight.
Yeah, his name has come off late, hasn't it?
Yep.
What about Dewey? Like, I mean, he's a seven. He's going to play in the centres this afternoon. Yeah, I like the way the Rabbits have been going about their business. I'm going to go with them too.
All right. Well, that is those games. That's not the first thing on the agenda, though. The Roosters, of course, are playing at Central Coast Stadium against the Titans. Sterler will be helping the call. Thank you so much for your company. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to Ream.